When my two boys were very young, I made a promise to them, which unfortunately I never kept because of certain circumstances that came up. But they're 26 and 27 now, and they still remind me of that unkept promise. Once in a while, a conversation will come up, and it brings up a reminder of that unkept promise. So they never have forgotten it, and I regret not being able to fulfill that promise. Have you ever had someone make a promise that they didn't keep? Maybe when you were young, mom or dad or someone made a promise to you that they never kept, and you still remember that. Now, on the flip side, maybe you remember the promises that mom and dad made, or like it's someone else made to you, and they did keep it, and how much that really meant to you, the fact that they kept those promises. Well, brethren, God has made many promises to his people down through the centuries, and he has never broken one of those promises. Never has God broken a promise. Most of the promises that he made have been fulfilled, but there's some that haven't. And this day, today, the Day of Trumpets, really represents the beginning and the reality and the fulfillment of what I want to call special promises. Special promises that God has made to you and me. And that's the topic of my message this afternoon, and that is the fulfillment of the greatest promises ever made by God to his called out ones and eventually to all mankind. When we get into the Feast of Tabernacles, we'll find out about those promises that God has made to all mankind. But I want to focus on the promises that he has made to you and I. But first of all, I want to review just a few of the promises that God has made and he's fulfilled. So I want you to turn over to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. We're going to begin in the very beginning. And so we're in the Garden of Eden here. And this is the first promise that God made in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. And he's speaking to Satan here after Satan had deceived Eve. And this is what he said. And he said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So we see here a promise that God is going to rectify the problem of deception and sin brought on by Satan. So he promised Eve, this first person to be deceived, that there would become a seed, a descendant, who would bruise Satan's head, in other words, put an end to his rule and his authority upon the earth, and that Satan would have a part in his death. And we know that this was fulfilled, this promise was fulfilled in the life and death of Jesus Christ. Let's think about another promise. There's a promise every time you see a rainbow in the sky. Remember that promise that God made. He promised that he would never destroy the earth again with a flood. And he put the rainbow in the sky as a sign of that promise. Now, living here in the Northwest the last 2 years, I'm beginning to think God's kind of pushing the envelope on that promise. But I think he's going to fulfill it. I don't think God will ever destroy the earth with a flood because he promised he never would. What about the promises that God made to Abraham? The promises that God made to Abraham. Remember, God promised him, even when he was an old man and his wife, Sarah, was old, that he would have a son. And of course, you know, they were a little doubtful, wondering how that was going to happen at their age, but it did. He had a son, Isaac. And God told Abraham that he would be a father of many nations. And he fulfilled that promise. We live in one of those nations based upon that promise. He told him that his descendants would be taken to a promised land. And that was fulfilled. Let's look in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 8. In Genesis chapter 17 and verse 8, God mentions this promise to Abraham. He says, also I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. So God fulfilled that promise. And he said his descendants would have tremendous blessings and power. And once again, we know that that's been fulfilled. Because I mentioned, we live in a nation because of that, a nation that's been blessed tremendously. And the other promise that he made, which ties into this today, is he said that this seed, this Messiah, would also come down through his lineage. Let's go over to Genesis chapter 22. In Genesis chapter 2 and verses 17 and 18, where God mentions this promise. It says here in verse 17, he says, "Blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and as the sand on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies." And in verse 18, where he's talking about this seed, he says, "In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." And so he's talking about the blessing and eventual the seed, the Messiah, coming down through Abraham. Now, God fulfilled one of these promises that he made to Abraham through Moses. Let's go over to Psalms 105. Psalms 105, and I would like to read verses 37 through 45. Psalms 105, 37 through 45. And notice what David wrote here in this psalm. He's talking about the children of Israel and when God brought them out. He said, "He also brought them out with silver and gold, and there was none feeble among his tribes. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them had fallen upon them. He spread a cloud for a covering and a fire to give light in the night. And the people asked, and he brought quail, and he satisfied them with the bread from heaven." And so the people asked for food, and God gave them food. "He opened a rock, and water gushed out. It ran in the dry places like a river." And here's a key verse here in 42. "For he remembered his holy promise, and Abraham his servant. He brought out his people with joy, his chosen ones with gladness. He gave them the lands of the Gentiles, and they inherited the labor of the nations, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise the Lord." Did you realize that God attached a promise to one of the Ten Commandments? I want to ask you to turn over there, but in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2 it says, "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." And so young people, well, all of us that have parents, this is a commandment of promise because it said, "Honor your mother and your father, that your days may be long upon the land which your Lord is giving you." So one more promise that God gave and that he will keep. Let's go over to 1 Kings chapter 8. In 1 Kings chapter 8 and beginning in verse 54, you remember this account. Solomon had finished building the temple by the instructions, all the instructions that God had given him. And so he's completed the construction of the temple, and he's dedicating the temple before God, before the people, in prayer to God. And this is what Solomon says here in 1 Kings chapter 8 and beginning in verse 54. "And so it was when Solomon had finished praying all this prayer and supplication to the Lord, that he arose from the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread to heaven. Then he stood and blessed all the assembly of Israel with a loud voice, saying, 'Blessed be the Lord, or blessed be the Lord, who has given rest to his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There was not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised through his servant Moses.'" So not one word that God promised through Moses or his servants ever failed. And we know there are many more prophetic promises that God has made that are yet to be fulfilled, many of which, as I mentioned, we'll be reminded of at the Feast of Tabernacles. But what about the promises that God has made to you and I, those special promises? Let's think about those. Let's go over to John 14 and verse 12. And I just want to highlight a few of the promises that God has made to you and I specifically. In John 14 John 14 and verse 2. This is what Jesus Christ said. He said, "My Father's house are many mansions," and we sang a song this morning in regards to these verses. He says, "If it were not so, I would have told you." He says, "I go to prepare a place for you." So Jesus Christ, when he left, when he descended into the heavens, promised that he was preparing a place for you and I, brethren. And in verse 3 it says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be." So that's what this day of trumpets, represents. The fact that Jesus Christ is preparing in his kingdom places for you and I. For you and I, and he's coming back to fulfill that promise. So we have a promise of rulership. We have this promise of rulership with Jesus Christ and with helping and serving others. Let's go over to Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10 speaks to this. Sometimes, brethren, it's hard to imagine and to realize that these promises are going to be fulfilled in you and I. But we need to realize and grasp that these are things that God has promised and told us that will take place. And he says here, "And I have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." So we see these positions of rulership in the kingdom, kings and priests and teachers. We also have the promise of eternal life and a spiritual body. I'm not going to ask you to turn to it, because Mr. Larson read this in his sermon at this morning, but in 1 Corinthians 15 and verses 52 and 53, where it talks about in a moment, in that twinkling of that eye, when Jesus Christ returns, those that are alive at his return will be changed in a twinkling of an eye into a spiritual, eternal body. And those that have died will be resurrected at that time, even before we who are still alive will be changed. But we know that many have died and have never received these promises, but they knew about them. These promises were revealed to them. I will ask you to turn over to Hebrews chapter 11, and I want to read verses 13 and 14. Now, this is what we call the faith chapter. And so in Hebrews, it talks about all these individuals that lived throughout the centuries and these people of faith, who never received these promises, who knew about them. Let's see what it says. In verse 13, it says, "These all died in faith." So they all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. Now, as I mentioned, I never got to fulfill that promise that I made to my two sons. But I think come a time when I can. Because if the promise I made to them when they were little boys, I promised I was going to build them this outdoor playground. You've seen them, with the slides and the swings and all that. I told them I was going to build that for them, but unfortunately, I never got around to it. But now we have grandchildren, and so I'm going to build it for my grandchildren. And so if the boys want to play on that with them, there we go. Fulfillment of that promise. So I hope to be able to do that. But brethren, remember this. God does not break promises. And he has fulfilled many of the promises that he has made in the past. But we have these special promises, you and I, here today, that will be fulfilled when Jesus Christ returns on the Day of Trumpets.